Bibles this afternoon. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. In the 6th chapter. The 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians. The last few weeks we've seen instructions that are laid upon children, and the fact that they are to be obedient, they are to honor and obey their parents, and that is a commandment of the Lord given with a promise attached to it. Promise of good life, well, a life well, and long days. This afternoon, we're ready for verse 4. And your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers. He addresses it to fathers, and the Greek word is definitely masculine. So it is addressed to fathers, but it is addressed to fathers because they are the head of the home. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I know we've looked at this again, but this is, I was going to say, much needed instruction in our day, but it was much needed instruction when I was raising my children, when my parents were raising their children, when their parents were raising their children. It is instruction that is applicable to every generation. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3 tells us, I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Here we have the order set. And man is head of the woman. He marries a wife. He is the head. And so any children that are born to that union are under that head. The wife being under the head, and any children that she bears are brought under that head as well. Turn with me to a scripture that we find in the Old Testament, book of Genesis, in chapter 18. And look what God says in verse 19 concerning Abraham. He said, for I know him, that is, he knows Abraham, that he will command his children, he will command, he will rule and give orders to his children and his household after him. In other words, not just to his immediate children, but all those born after Isaac. I know him that he will command his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So here we're shown that Abraham is going to rule over his household. And how is he going to rule over them? He's going to rule over them, teaching them the way of the Lord. Did you catch that? Household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Well, how are they going to keep the way of the Lord if that's not what Abraham instructed them in? So that is what Abraham instructs them in. It gives us a little insight into what fathers are commanded to do in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 4. But turn with me now to the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy in chapter 3. And you might say, well, why are you going there? Well, I just want to show you. Yes, this is qualifications that are given concerning a pastor and concerning deacons. But notice what one of the qualifications is as pastor. He is a man, and he's to rule his house well. One that ruleth well his own house. Right there denotes that he is a man. Get my two cents worth in on that, or get the plug in, get the truth in. Right there, this scripture is not talking about a woman being a pastor, being a bishop. It's talking about a man being a pastor or a bishop. And it is noted again by his ruling well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Let's go down to verse 12. Same thing concerning deacons. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. Ruling their children and their own houses well. That is even in their wives, as well as the children. So this instruction given to us in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 6, is addressed to fathers as heads of the house. Heads of the household. But there arises a problem if you say that the father has to be the sole one to rule, to discipline, to teach in the house. Because what happens if the father's out in the field working, which was quite common? They would be out in the field away from the home working. And yes, the older children might be out there with him, especially the sons might be out there with him. But what about the rest of the children? They're back in the house. Well, what are they doing? Just running wild in the house and tearing the house all apart? Dad comes home from the field and doesn't find a house standing any longer. No. It's because the wife, that responsibility, a large part of the responsibility falls on the wife. She is the household manager. She is the husband's executive to see to it, of, in certain cases and instances, discipline if it's needed, teaching. And of course, she has gotten all this from her husband, and so she knows what her husband expects and wants carried out, and carries it out. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, and yes, some more of these scriptures are going to be familiar as having looked at them in the past, especially when we were dealing with husband and wives' responsibilities to one another. But in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14, we read this: I will therefore that the young women marry, that they marry husbands, they marry men who are now their head. Marry, bear children, guide. That word guide, supervise, manage. Manage the house. See, the wife, as we said, is the husband's executive, his manager of the household while he's not there. It only stands to common reasoning that if he's not there, he can't see to these things. So the wife is to do that. She's his executive. She is his manager to see to it these things are carried out. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs in chapter 6. No, that's not what I want. Let's try Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. So the instructions that we have here given to us in Proverbs is: train up a child. Yes, there is training that is to be done in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. In what way should a child go? Well, he should go in the ways of the Lord. Train up a child in the ways of the Lord, in the teachings of the Lord. Listen, this has been a hard verse for some, because some have had children whom they tried to instruct and tried to teach. The Lord took them to church, never made a profession of faith. They left the house as an adult, and seemingly they are not walking the ways of the Lord and the ways in which they were trained. Listen, but they remember every scripture verse, nearly every one, I'll say, that you tried to get them memorized. You worked with them in memorization. They remember the teachings that you taught in the home. Now they've rebelled against it because they don't believe, because they're a non-believer, because Satan has blinded their eyes to it. But they remember it. They remember those instructions. They remember those times spent in Sunday school. They remember those times spent in the preaching service and the singing the songs and singing children's songs. They remember, well, stepping on some toes. Be stepping on some, my own included. They remember the times of family devotions, when they sat down and read the Word, maybe made comments on the Word, tried to teach certain aspects of the Word. Times you have prayer. habit in our house. Generally, the wife did it. If she wasn't able to, I did it. Went in and had prayer with our children before, when we tucked them into bed. I remember sitting in a rocking chair and rocking each one of our kids and singing children's songs. Children's songs? We call them children's songs, but those songs are just as applicable to us as adults. And I used to sing them to them. They remember that. They remember those things. They can't get away from it. They rebel against it because they're not believers. Not necessarily my children, but the ones that have grown up and seemingly aren't walking in the ways of the Lord. They remember the instructions that you gave to them. But our training, how is our training to be according to this verse? Train up a child in the way it should go. Well, what was it? What was it he told? Solomon, the writer of most of the Proverbs, was an Israelite. What were the Israelites to do? Well, they were to take the commands of God. They were to take the word of God, and they were to carry it in their heart. They were to write it upon their foreheads. It was to be as frontless before their eyes. They were to write it upon their doorposts and on the mantles overhead. They're sprinkling the blood. They were to talk of them when they rose up in the morning and talk of them when they go to bed at night. In other words, they're to be talking of them all day long. Now, training a child the way they should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart from it. They'll never be able to get away from it. Listen, this is important. Our society today, the world today, has lost it. I mean, people have bought in to Dr. Spock. And children left to themselves will be rebellious. I mean, it's in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction drive it far from them. You see, you gotta whip them. Not every time that they're disobedient, not every time that they're rebellious. But when you've tried, shall we say, timeouts, what good does timeouts do? You go stand in a corner for 10 or 15 minutes. Well, that might work in school in front of a class of 25 or 30 kids, your peers. You know, it's kind of embarrassing to be singled out and have to stand up there with your nose in the corner in front of your classmates. Different things you can try. But sometimes the only thing left is a good spanking on the rear end where they got lots of padding. And our favorite thing was to take a good solid wooden spoon and turn them over our knee and use it on them. That way, we made sure right where it was landing is right, and landing right there on the bottom. And one haphazardly and wild upon them. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs in chapter 22. Proverbs 22. No, we already were there. I want 29. Well, I might get with it this afternoon. Proverbs chapter 29. Look with me here at verse 15. The rod. That is scourging. chastening that is scourging. Rod and reproof. That is corrective measures with instruction. Reproof. Reproving their wrong. Instructing them in right ways. Give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You leave your child to himself. You don't discipline your children. You withdraw the rod, the strap. You withdraw that reproof and correction. Your child's going to bring shame to you. This says to his mother. Because the mothers are the most sensitive of heart. And it'll bring them to shame. What do we have today? What do we have in our society today? The world over. Children are being left to themselves. Children are being brought up with no discipline. It just frustrates me. I see, some of my grandchildren. I see some of my grandchildren left to make choices that children shouldn't be making. Where are their parents? And I know in some senses I was probably made some choices and decisions for my children that I probably carried it a little too far. And then maybe in some areas I wasn't as strict as I should have been. But this verse teaches us a lot. The rod and reproof give wisdom to the child. That's not what Dr. Spock says, is it? He says it'll warp the child. It'll warp them emotionally. It'll warp their character. Well, if you look deeply at that word train, that is exactly what we're to do. We're to shape them in what they ought to be. Because what they will be without it is godless. So we have to show them the way of God. Let me tell you, if we don't, and they're never saved, one day they're going to meet the judgment and discipline of God. One day they'll find out. You see? Well, yes, this is a big problem today. And so children, because they're not being disciplined, they're not being taught to honor and to obey, they're growing up without honor and respecting their parents, which leads to every facet of life. They don't honor and respect their teachers at school. They don't honor and respect police officers. They don't honor and respect anyone. But the same. And they certainly don't honor God. Neglected children become problem children. Isn't that in essence what that professor from Harvard said in training a child, disciplining a child from 1 to 6 years of age? Children who receive that kind of discipline and instruction from 1 to 6 years of age were less likely to end up criminals, committing crime on the streets. Why? Because they had the love and care exhibited to them at home, in the discipline, in the training. He said, provoke not your children to wrath. Provoke them not to wrath. Provoke means to arouse to anger. To provoke to the point of utter exasperation. Resentment. I've seen that showed up in some children. Because they were provoked to anger. Sometimes we parents discipline our children in a fit of anger. Nobody here did that. Well, I did. I'll admit it. Rather than instructing them, telling them what they did wrong and what you should have done. And because you did wrong, you didn't obey, now you're going to get a whipping. But many times, the discipline met out was met out in anger rather than lovingly. When we do it lovingly, yes, the same purpose was the same. When it was done in anger, my purpose was to correct the child and that they correct their behavior. But loving gets much better results from the child, not letting them see my anger. Our temperament being controlled by passion. We imply improper discipline for our own pleasure. For our own pleasure. It's more like because you offended me. And now I'm going to whip you. Instead of you did wrong. And here's what you did wrong. And that's why you're getting a whipping. You see, it has the best goal in mind for the child. Which do you think brings forth the best benefit of the child when we do it right? Does God discipline us in anger? No, God disciplines us for our good. For our good. To bring about holiness, righteousness, a holy and righteous living. Our disciplining ought to be done in love. And it ought to be done in compassion. With the good of the child in mind. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews in chapter 12. Verse 6 of the 12th chapter of Hebrews. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. not all the his chastening is scourging. Here we have the two different words. Chastisement, chastening, chastened, can imply corrective, instruction, correction with discipline, with scourging, reproof, rebuke, sometimes scourging. And he scourges sometimes. If ye endure chastening, God is with you as sons. For what son is he whom he, the Father, chasteneth not? Your fathers, mothers, you chasten your children, don't you? You did. You do. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, all children are partakers of chastisement, all the children of God are partakers of chastisement. But if you be without chastisement, then are ye bastards and not sons, illegitimate children. You're not his children if you're without chastisement. Furthermore, we have had fathers. Now we're getting down to the natural. We're getting down to us physical fathers. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. That correction taught us reverence. That correction taught us honor and respect. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? We honor and respected our earthly fathers because they corrected us. Well, should we not much more honor our heavenly Father because of his correction upon us? For they verily, our fleshly fathers, our fathers, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. After their own pleasure. We're all guilty of that. We give them teaching and instruction. They disobey that teaching and instruction. We discipline them. We chastise them. For a few days or till they are grown and become adults and leave the house. But he, God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of holiness. See, that is a perfect father there. I mean, he does it for our profit. He does it in loving and compassion to bring about holiness in our lives. Can we learn from that as earthly fathers? We sure can. Our discipline, our instruction, our chastisement of our children ought to be done in love and compassion to bring about holiness. To bring about a righteous walk in the paths of the Lord, in the paths of God. To bring about holiness in their lives. We still have a sense. Grandparents, great-grandparents, probably not going to be provoking your seed to wrath. We, become grandparents, and we really don't want to discipline anymore. We did that. we just want to enjoy them. If they're bad, if they're naughty, give them back to mom and dad. Let mom and dad take care of it. But there have been times. Sometimes grandparents have to set the foot down because mom and dad's not available to do it. And we have to teach and instruct. Our teaching as grandparents and great-grandparents can go on. We're going to get into that next week. This is the reverse side. The negative is to parents, fathers and mothers, provoke them to wrath. That's the negative side. Don't provoke them to wrath. Let your discipline, your chastisement be done in love and compassion for the profit, for their profit, for their good, for their advancement in the ways of God, and their instruction in the ways of God. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We'll deal with that next week. We'll stop there today. Shall we pray?